This episode of HBR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HBR15. That's HBR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
This is HBR episode 1969, entitled Horrors of Spam, and the Greater Horror of Filtering It. It's hosted by Joshua Knapp and is about 13 and a half minutes long. In this episode, we will cover the horror that is spam, when the first spam email was sent, and the greater horror, at least for hosting providers, that is filtering spam email. First, allow me to apologize. I have not done an episode of HPR since 2011. It was my DDoS and how to mitigate it show, and it's been really long. So I'm sorry I haven't jumped on to do another one of these in a while. Should have more time now that I'm working as a consultant and contractor, so look forward to seeing some more podcasts from me. Second, I've been really trying hard to record this while it's been quiet in the house, but the last 2 days there have been so many random noises and things like that, I don't think I'm ever going to get quiet. So if you hear a weird noise, just chalk it up to the dogs or the cats, or our noisy dryer, or the guy across the street that insists on mowing his lawn every day. Moving on into the actual meat of the podcast, we're going to talk about the horrors of spam and the greater horror of filtering it. Spam is unwanted email. It's mass sent. It's not intended for you necessarily. It's just tons, and there's tons of them. It's ridiculous. It's started back in 1978. That was when the first spam email was sent. May 3rd, 1978, by a guy named Gary. He was a marketer for the Digital Equipment Corporation, and he blasted out his message to 400 of the 2,600 members on the DARPA or ARPANET, which was the DARPA-funded so-called first internet. And of course, he was trying to sell something. So that actually makes spam older than I am by magnitude of 7 years. Yeah. Next bit I want to talk about is what you can do to prevent spam from hitting your mailbox. Most of you have Gmail accounts or have corporate email accounts that already have inbound spam filtering. And that is essentially looking at each message that's coming in and comparing it against different regex codes or signatures, saying, is this email spammy? Yes, no. Are they talking about Viagra? And they're assigned a certain score. So if they're just saying Viagra is available for you, that will probably get you a 4. But you send, or you get an email that says, super hot date, women looking in your area, click here now, that's probably going to get closer to a 50 on the spam list. But that's only one side of it, is that inbound filtering. As a hosting provider, we actually have to worry about both sides, what comes in and what goes out of our servers. Any email that is generated from our servers should be checked. And that should be the case with any hosting provider. Unfortunately, that's not the case with most hosting providers. If an email is generated, there's that potential that it's spam and it goes out and gets that server blacklisted. That's one of the big issues with hosting providers right now, shared hosting in particular, is you get one customer that's either been compromised or is intentionally spamming, they can actually blacklist an entire server, because blacklists that are controlled by groups like SpamHaus, they have honeypots essentially set up that are email addresses that are intentionally scraped by these groups who are selling these email lists for spamming, or at one way or another, they're on these lists, and they capture these spam emails that come in and say, oh, we've gotten a bunch of these emails from this IP address. Let's add it to our blacklist. And that's another way to filter, is not only by score of a email, but a reputation of a server. And that's the part that hosting providers really need to look out for, is the reputation of the server, how to protect that reputation. Because if the reputation becomes poor, most providers will not accept emails from that IP address. And if it's a bad enough problem, they'll blacklist an entire range. So a /24, I've seen it as bad as a /16, where a hosting provider has just been known to be an open door for spammers, and they just allow anybody to send out emails, and an entire /16 for a company in the Netherlands actually got blacklisted. So how big of a problem are we talking about with spam? At an Honest Host, we typically see just shy of 70% of the email that comes in through our servers that gets passed through, which is usually forwarders. Forwarders are our biggest source of email that gets caught in our spam filter. And we're looking at just shy of 70% on a server that does 2,000 emails. So maybe we're extra spammy, I don't know. But a bigger hosting company that I've done consulting and contracting for is just shy of 60% for 25 of their shared servers on a single cluster that we've set up. And that cluster does about 100,000 emails. That's 60,000 emails that don't go out onto the internet. It gets stopped at that point because of the outbound spam filtering that they're doing. And they've got somebody working that full time. It's a full-time job for them. But what's the big deal? You know, you're worried about the messages being in the inbox. What's the big deal? It's just an email. I'll delete it. Without spam filtering in place, you will typically see a few hundred spam emails. If it's an easy guest email, like admin info. If it's your name dot or something along those lines, it's a little bit harder to guess. But if your email is listed on a website, scrapers go through and look for email addresses. I mean, that's why a lot of websites like php.net, I think even HPR, if I remember right, I'm pretty sure, we don't just put an email address on the page. We modify it so that it's not easy for a scraper to just grab the email off. The next big issue becomes the resources that are involved with processing those emails. When spam emails are sent out, and let's say it's not even generating from the server that I got sent out from, let's say it's a forwarder, the receiving server is having to do the work of saying, is this spam? And if it is, take appropriate action. Companies like Gmail, Microsoft, most of your major ISPs, which that's a whole nother humorous point to me, is ISPs, because they're the first ones to go off and blacklist somebody for sending spam, but they are some of the worst offenders for sending spam. Those guys, if you send enough spam, they'll go off and start rate limiting the IP address that the email's coming from, blacklisting the domain that the emails are coming from, and then blacklisting the server. And those three in particular are incredibly hard to get off of their spam list. Yahoo's another one. Really hard to get off their spam list. And when you're on those spam lists, it's not just the single domain that was sending the spam. It's now everybody on that server. So your legitimate business is now being filtered as spam because somebody had a forwarder set up that forwarded spam onto these guys. So it's really important for hosting providers to know what kind of email is going out from their servers and filtering that before it goes to the server or goes to the end result or end server. The other problem we're seeing is spammers are getting craftier, specifically with the phishing emails. They're starting to get really, really close to the actual emails. There have been a couple that, had I not known it was spam, would have fooled me. And sometimes they're not getting craftier, but they're targeting more people. My roommate, his aunt called about 5 or 6 months ago because his grandma was trying to send $1,000 to somebody who had sent her an email asking to have her send $1,000 via Western Mutual or Western Union, excuse me, Western Union to get him out of jail because he had crashed into somebody, killed them, and now was being held on $1,000 bail. And they went so far as, after she responded, to go off and call her and get her to start that process. But she had to go down to the store to visit Western Union, but she couldn't drive, thankfully. And his aunt called him instead of, you know, doing the logical thing, you know, call Justin and see what's going on. She took this email at face value and was going to pay somebody, a random person, $1,000 because she thought her grandson was in jail. The other thing that we're also seeing is viruses, crypto virus work. The last place I worked at for my day job, their legal department had somebody that had opened up an email address. It legitimately looked like an email that had come from their IT department, but instead it was a Word document that had a cryptovirus. And those cryptoviruses are particularly nasty because they don't just encrypt the local system, they encrypt any drive that that person can see. In this case, it ended up encrypting the entire remote network storage, including all the backups for every computer that was connected to that network. Fortunately, my team, we were on a separate network, so we weren't affected, but everybody got nailed by that. And the same old comes up with stolen identity, guys. Goes right back to those fishers. They are getting really good at falsifying the stuff that they're putting on there, and it very rarely leads anybody back to who actually did it, because it starts from a compromised web server, typically, where they've uploaded a version of a website that looks identical. It's just got a weird URL, but people rarely look at the URLs anymore. So, little PSA, look at the URL before you go off and put your login credentials in. So I'm hoping over the course of this brief podcast, you guys have kind of gotten an idea why hosting providers not only need to worry about inbound spam filtering, but outbound spam filtering. Since I am now working from home, I'm hoping to get more podcasts done. That being said, it did take me 5 years to do this one, so maybe not hold your breath, but here's hoping, right? Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hekka Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.